from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda reporting outside of San Diego International Airport.
So again, if you need to be picked up, I would suggest you ask whoever's picking you up to try the departure level. Currently, that is not covered with protesters.
Covered with protesters is one way to put it, as the captain of United Flight 691 did last night after landing in San Diego. Between 800 to 1,000 protesters turned out here to object to President Trump's ban on refugees from Muslim-majority countries, including Syria and Iran. They're yelling, DHS, set them free. The Department of Homeland Security, the DHS in that chant, is the agency that held people in transit. Meanwhile, north of here in San Francisco, protesters had a similar message. SFO was where a 65-year-old woman named Faride was held this past Saturday after President Trump's order took effect. Her daughter, Sarah Kay, was in bits, waiting to find out what happened to her mother.
For us, it's been such a nightmare. You know, I'm pregnant. I try not to stress out much, but it's really difficult. I mean, since Wednesday, we've been like on pins and needles, trying to like, oh, how is that going to affect us? Is this real? It hopefully doesn't get signed.
Customs officials released Sarah's mother hours later. Faride says she was lucky. She says another woman on the airplane was immediately denied access and put on a flight back to Iran. Now, this legal limbo played out at airports across the United States, including at LAX. Their attorneys worked around the clock inside the airport, advocating on behalf of those being denied entry. Here's Los Angeles Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas.
Attorneys from several legal organizations hunkered down in teams at the edge of the International Arrivals Hall, trying to access people being detained by customs authorities. One of them was Faith Nori, who leads her own immigration law firm in L.A. She said they're trying to work through family members, anxiously awaiting their loved ones' release.
People are scared. Families are scared, especially since these people are coming from other countries where they have been really subject to government
persecution.
So for them, it is quite intimidating having another government agent telling them, family are scared to even talk to us. I mean, yesterday I was talking to people. They were saying, well, if I talk to you, would my family get in a worse situation? So they were waiting until nighttime to talk to us.
Outside the terminal, an Iranian graduate student named Amir Gayoumi joined hundreds of protesters. Gayoumi says he's been in the U.S. for 5 years. After a two-year wait, his parents acquired visas and are due to arrive in March. Now those plans are in doubt.
My father is 80 years old and my mother is 60 years old. They are not terrorists. They just come to visit me after 5 years. If you want to do something in my government, go ahead. Like sanctions. But he's against Iranian people, not government. He stood against my people, not my government.
President Trump has pledged to begin issuing visas again following a review that could take months. Over the weekend, attorneys filed a lawsuit demanding those being held by customs authorities in L.A. be released immediately or allowed to access an attorney. A hearing in Los Angeles federal courts could happen as early as today. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
Now, Democrats are calling on Trump to reverse this temporary travel ban. We're going to turn now to Marisa Lagos of KQED's Politics and Government Desk. She joins us now. Good morning, Marisa.
Good morning.
So, Marisa, how are California Democrats leading the effort to overturn this ban?
Well, we heard late Sunday that Representative Zoe Lofgren from Silicon Valley, along with in the Senate, Dianne Feinstein and some of her colleagues, are both drafting legislation. I asked Lofgren whether this was more symbolic or whether she expects Republican support and what she plans to say to her Republican colleagues as she arrives in Washington today.
They have to live with their own consciences, but what the president has done makes the United States less safe. It has created a sense of chaos and needs to be reversed. So they can contemplate that and decide what their responsibility is.
Meanwhile, Republican Daryl Issa, who is from the San Diego area where I'm at, spoke in favor of the ban this morning. Tell us what he said.
Yeah, so Issa said the rollout wasn't perfect, and then he might have started with a smaller number of countries, but he supported the emphasis on helping Christian refugees. Here's what he told CNN just this morning.
Under the Obama administration, it did seem like Christians were unfairly unable, even though they were the targets of having their heads chopped off, they were finding it harder to get into the United States than were Muslims. So I think we have to be religious blind, other than majorities are not refugees. Minorities are refugees.
And we're hearing this as a talking point. Donald Trump tweeted out something similar on Sunday about Christians. I mean, it should be pointed out that the vast majority of people who have been victimized by ISIS are Muslim.
Not all of California's Republicans are taking this hard line against it, though, including Jeff Denham.
That's right. The Modesto Republican congressman tweeted out that the way the order's playing out has created a lot of uncertainty and unintended consequences. And he also noted that, as we've seen with the previous administration, executive orders are not the way to resolve ongoing problems. We should note that besides ISA, we have heard Devin Nunes and Tom McClintock defend the order, and then radio silence from most other Republican congressional members, including House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
Marisa Lagos joining us from our studios in San Francisco. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Let's take a step back now from the big news of the weekend and look forward to what's happening this week in the world of healthcare. Californians have 2 more days to sign up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. As the California Report's health reporter April Domboski explains, state officials are making a final push to get people to enroll, despite the law's uncertain future.
Last week, the White House ordered federal officials to halt advertising and outreach for the final days of healthcare signups. But California's media buy is ramping up.
Life. You never really know what's coming.
This TV ad shows a young guy lying in the street next to his overturned bicycle. Paramedics are rushing to his side.
And that's why Covered California is here.
The apparent decision to scale back national advertising doesn't touch California in the least.
Peter Lee is head of Covered California, the state's health insurance exchange.
California's advertising budget is a California budget that's not funded by federal dollars or by state dollars.
Instead, advertising is funded by a fee that health insurance companies pay, which makes sense. Insurers want people to buy their health plans, especially young, healthy people who tend to be the last ones to sign up. They balance out the sick people in the mix.
Which means health premiums are going to be lower for everybody.
Lee says uncertainty around the fate of Obamacare doesn't seem to be affecting enrollment so far. But he has advice for anyone who's hesitating.
Sign up now, because change in Washington won't happen overnight.
But he says you can get sick overnight. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
The San Diego International Airport used to be called Lindbergh Field, named after the groundbreaking American aviator Charles Lindbergh. One of the most famous Americans of his time, Lindbergh was a noted nationalist and Nazi sympathizer. He was also known to use the slogan America First, which has been revived by President Trump. In that sense, it's fitting we begin this week at the old Lindbergh Field in San Diego, because for the next 5 days, the California Report will be traveling across the U.S. border between California and Mexico to ask this question. What does America First mean at the place where America ends? You can follow along on the trip here on the California Report and also on Twitter. I'm at JohnLGC. And that's the California Report for Monday, January 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.